Well, as you came through the doors this morning of the church, let me ask you, what was in your mind and what was in your heart? Perhaps for some of you, maybe you were thinking about the service to come, if you're involved in maybe the singing, and maybe you thought of a transparency or a CD maybe as you came through the doors. I don't know, just taking a guess, maybe that was on your mind. If you did announcements today, maybe the pastor sprung an announcement on you, right, 5 minutes before you were supposed to get up there. Maybe that was on your mind. I know often what's on my mind is the message, and God help me not to have a brain freeze. Yeah, that's what it was. Help me not to have a brain freeze while I'm up in front of people. But today, maybe thoughts of the service to come weren't on your mind. Maybe there were thoughts of the past. Maybe something that already happened today. Maybe a comment that your spouse made as you sat around the breakfast table together is still in your mind as you came through those doors. Or maybe something that was said in church today. Maybe before you walked through the door, someone said something and it set your brain a rolling as you walked through the doors. Well, no matter what was in your mind as you walked through those doors this morning, let me ask you this. Was what was in your heart? Did that override those thoughts that may distract you from worshiping God today? And by that I mean, was your heart so full of thanksgiving and praise that your thoughts quickly went from the horizontal, from people and from yourself, and they went from the horizontal to the vertical? You began to focus upon God. And why we're here today is to worship Almighty God. Were those your thoughts this morning? Psalm 100 verse 4. Says this, it says, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We're to enter with thanksgiving. Did you enter with an attitude of gratitude this morning as you crossed through the threshold? I thought maybe we could start something new. Jason, as you hand out the bulletins, you know, each morning on Sundays, you could say, you know, welcome to Christian Faith Chapel. And then you could ask the people, do you have an attitude of gratitude? Would you like to do that each week? Yeah. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. No. But we do. We need kind of an attitude check before we come in. Maybe a better way would just to be to plaster that verse above the doorway so that we remember that we are to enter with thanksgiving, that God's will is that we come in with grateful hearts. Well, when it comes to entering with thanksgiving, let me ask you this. How many of you prepare to enter? In other words, before you came in, was there any preparation that took place? I know I'm often guilty of waiting till I get here and then saying, yeah, once I start singing or once I do this, then I'll kind of be in the quote worship mode. I often find myself more like Martha. Remember Martha, who was so busy doing things, right? Getting things ready for God, right? You know, whether it's the message or just things in the church that I'm preparing for, that I fail to be like Mary, who did what was most important and prepared her heart. She sat at the feet of Jesus. She got close to Jesus. Let me ask you, as the time draws near to a Sunday morning, is there any preparation that takes place in your life? What do your Saturday nights look like? Is there an eagerness or an expectation that you're going to come and worship God and you're going to worship with fellow believers who love God as well? Is there any eagerness or expectation? Some of you watch football. You young men, you can probably tell me what the theme song is for Sunday night football. You guys know the main line of that song? I've been waiting. What? I've been waiting all day for Sunday night. The pastor's kid, he knows about it, but I've been waiting all day for Sunday night. There's this expectation, like all my days just been centered around this football game that's going to happen on Sunday night. Well, let me ask you, can we say, I've been waiting all night for Sunday morning, for, as Rich said, hallelujah time? Has the week been so good that it's just so good to be here to worship with fellow believers? How about your Sunday mornings? Was there any spiritual preparation that took place before you came through the doors this morning? Do you ever think about all the preparation that takes place for the average Bills fan who's going to the game? you think about what they do. They've, first of all, they've bought a ticket, haven't they? They've invested some money. They've put their money toward that ticket. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? There's finances that are involved. Number two, they find anything they can find with a Bills logo on it, whether it's a hat or a jacket. And if that don't do it, right, they just take off their shirt and they paint a big Buffalo Bills logo on it, and they, right, stand there with all something in their hand. But anyway, they're so excited. There's passion to be at the game. And they also leave early, don't they? They make sure that they're there in case there's traffic. They don't want to get there late. In fact, some of them are there hours ahead of time, right, barbecuing in the parking lot, having a good old time because they can't wait, right, to be at that game. So all this preparation takes place so that as they go through the gates to the stadium, they're full of thanksgiving and praise that they get to be in the presence of the Buffalo Bills. And not only that, but they get to slap high fives with fellow Bills fans. You ever think about that? Some people barely know each other, but because they're got that commonality of rooting for the Bills, they'll just, whoo. I think sometimes we in church just need to turn to each other and say, you know what, it's good. It's good to be here today. God is good. When you think about our lives and what we gather for the purpose of gathering, how much greater is our gathering than just a football game or some football players? But we're gathering to worship God Almighty. We're gathering with those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who are forgiven, who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And what a sweet reason to come together. What joy there should be. What thanksgiving should be in our hearts. So one way we can enter with thanksgiving is to have our hearts filled with thanksgiving before we ever enter the doors. For once we pass through the doors, we're already in, aren't we? We've already come in. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that if you're not coming in with a heart full of thanksgiving, then just stay out, right? Don't even come. I'm not saying that. How many of you know that there are many times you come in unprepared, but yet while you're here, God speaks to your heart. He encourages you. He challenges you. He lifts you up as you come and worship him. Certainly that takes place. But the point is this: how much richer and deeper could our worship be if we would prepare ourselves to come in, prepare our hearts to be full of thanksgiving, to be full of praise before we come in? Well, as you may have guessed, we're going to talk today a little bit about being thankful. This Thursday, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Well, we do that in America anyway. Canada, when is Thanksgiving in Canada? Is that October? Oh, you already had Thanksgiving. Okay. What do you guys like? You call it like Boxing Day is your Thanksgiving, right? When you guys, no, that's something different. But anyway, in America, we're going to, as a culture, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Most of us are going to sit around a table and we're going to feast upon food. We may be able to watch some football. Some of us may do that. Some may visit with relatives. Some may go to Disney. But we're going to have a time of thanks. It's a holiday where we give thanks, don't we? That's why it's Thanksgiving. It's a day to give thanks. But as believers, we're to give thanks more than just one day a year, aren't we? We're to continually give thanks. That's what the Word of God teaches. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Do you know one way that we can keep our hearts from being unthankful is to dwell upon the hand of God in our lives? Last year at this time, I threw out a challenge to you. Does anyone remember what that challenge was? I couldn't even remember, so don't feel bad. I had to go back in my sermon notes to make sure I actually threw out the challenge. But I threw out a challenge to you, and that was this. I asked you to take a pen and a piece of paper and to write down many of the things that you are thankful for. And so then when one of these days happens, you know those days where just everything is gone wrong and you just wish things would go right? One of those days you have, take out that list and begin to read it and begin to pray it back to God. Anybody remember that? Is that ringing a bell? Well, I found mine. I still got mine. And I want to share that with you this morning, just some things that I jotted down, and I confess I don't look at it enough. But let me just share some things that the Lord put upon my heart. I'm thankful for Christ, for God saving me from hell. I'm thankful for my wife and my children. I'm thankful for my parents and my sisters. I'm thankful for the church family at Christian Faith Chapel. And I got in parentheses, generosity and fellowship. I'm thankful for the church family in Montville, which is our hometown, for their giving and prayers. I'm thankful for a wonderful home. I'm thankful that I've never gone a day without food or clothing. I'm thankful for all my body functions. By that, I'll explain. I have sight. I have hearing. I can speak most of the time. My body can move. I'm thankful for a safe community. There's no civil war that we're in the midst of right now. I'm thankful for the freedom to worship God and also a beautiful place that He's given us. I'm thankful for the availability of the Scriptures. I'm thankful for having above and beyond my needs. For a car that has been reliable for 5 years, I could make that a six now, and we got another car since then, which is another blessing. I'm thankful for the call to be a pastor and the privilege that is. For the trials that refine us, our Heavenly Father prunes His children. I'm thankful for other books that encourage, like Spurgeon sermons. I'm thankful that I've been spared earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, 9/11s, etc., acts of great destruction that have fallen upon many people. That's just a few. I could go on and on and on of the things that I have to be thankful for, and I'm sure there are many things that you could go on as well as the things that you are thankful for. Please don't assume that this is some kind of magic formula to happiness, that, oh, I got my list and now everything's going to be great. But sometimes there are practical steps that we can take in our lives to redirect our thoughts, redirect our hearts to getting where they need to be. And we need to be thankful people. And sometimes this may help you in times of unthankfulness and ungratefulness. So if you haven't done so, I want to challenge you again to take a piece of paper. I've even given you a piece of paper in your bulletins. It's a green sheet, and it says, I'm thankful for. Take that home today. This week, today, write on that. Just take some time to be alone and be quiet before God and thank Him. And keep that close somewhere. Stick it in your Bible. Stick it, if you got a prayer journal, stick it there. And then pull it out from time to time when you're just feeling so gloomy, like there's, because we can get there, can't we? We can think, you know what, God, I got nothing to be thankful for. I got nothing, but once I read this, I say, whoops, I do. I got a lot to be thankful for. I look at number one on my list, and it's Christ. It's my salvation who saved me from hell. That ought to be enough to cause my heart to just overflow with thankfulness. Even if I got nothing else on my list, just that alone ought to cause me to be one of the most thankful people on the face of the earth when we think about the grace and mercy of God in our lives. So as you take that paper and as you write on it, as you begin to thank God for the many things in your life, you know what God will be able to do? Help you to be thankful in every circumstance that you're in. Charles Spurgeon once said this, so long as man is alive and out of hell, he cannot have any cause to complain. What a great thought. You know, if that's all we're spared, you know, forget all the other stuff, how much riches we have, how many friends we have, how great our country is. Forget all that. We've got Christ. How great is that? I'd like to have you open your Bibles today to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. I'd like us to look at a Thanksgiving passage very briefly. Don't have time to spend a lot of time on this, but let's just look at that. And there aren't any pilgrims and Indians in this passage, but it's a great passage that teaches us about how to be thankful. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go, your faith has made you well.'" Again, we don't have time to go verse by verse into this passage. It's an awesome passage, but I just want to point out a few truths that we see in this one man who was thankful. Just 3 things. Number one is this. This man was in the minority. We see that Jesus healed all 10. There were 10 who received the blessing that day, who received healing, but yet this was the only man who came back and returned and gave thanks to Jesus. And in our world, we may find that it's a lot easier to be part of the complaining crowd than it is to be part of the thanksgiving crowd and the thankful crowd. How easy it is to find something negative in our daily situations and then focus on that. Though it's been a while since I've been in the secular workplace, I haven't forgotten what it's like to be there and how easy it is to go along with the crowd. I know what it is to sit around a lunch table and have someone begin to complain about their wages and then nod your head and say, "Yeah, you're right, man, we gotta be paid more." Or someone complain about their benefits and say, "You know what, yeah, we need better benefits." Or complain about a boss or an owner or perhaps another employee who's not in the room at that time, obviously. But complaining is often a part of the world, of the way, the lives in which we live, the world in which we live in. And I don't ever recall myself speaking out and saying, "You know what, let's just stop complaining and let's just be thankful." I don't think I ever did that. I kind of went along and nodded my head with the complaining. It seems that complaining begats complaining, doesn't it? As it says, misery loves company. There's kind of this easiness to join into complaining. Well, if you and I are going to be those who overflow with thanksgiving, we need to know this, and that is that we may find ourselves alone in giving thanks and just having a thankful heart. The rest of the world may be whining and complaining, but that flow, we need to go against that strong current. We need to it may take effort for us to not complain and to be thankful in all circumstances. It will take effort to keep our hearts from going down the stream of ungratefulness. Number two, this man, we see his thanks was directed at Jesus. And we don't know for sure, but I'd bet that all 9 of those other guys were thankful that they had been healed. They must have looked at themselves and saw their leprosy gone and said, "Wow, this is awesome. Woo! I can't believe it." I'm sure their hearts had thanksgiving in there. But only one man directed that thanksgiving back to where it truly belonged, which was to Jesus. And that's what we need to do as well. Direct our thanks at Jesus. As you make a list of all the things that you're thankful for, you know what? Each one of these things on the list really ought to be directed to Jesus. And you're going to say, "Well, what do you mean? What is a nice house or a car? What does that have to do with Jesus?" The truth is, it has everything to do with Jesus. The Bible says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory." In all things we give God the glory. You see, it's one thing to say, "I'm thankful for my house." It's another thing to say, "Oh God, thank you for this house." Big difference in the attitude. And in our country, there will be millions who will gather this holiday, this Thanksgiving, and I'm sure many people will, quote, give thanks. Many people may go around the table and they may even say things that they're thankful for. Little Jimmy will say, my stomach is hungry. God, I'm so thankful for, I goofed up. I'm thankful, he didn't say God. I'm thankful for this food. And little Sally will say, I'm thankful for my cousin, Gina, who gets to be here with us so I can play with her today. And Dad may say, I'm thankful for my job. And Mom may say, I'm thankful for my kids. And Grandma and Grandpa may shed a tear because they've raised such thankful kids and grandkids. And then they'll dig in. They'll eat their turkey. They'll eat some more turkey. They'll watch some football. They'll go back for some pie and some coffee. They'll kiss each other and go on their merry way, never once acknowledging God, who gave them the food, the one who created the food, the one who created cousins, the one who gives us the ability to do a job, the one who gives us the means to have a house, never once acknowledge God. There's a big difference between just being thankful and directing your thanks at God Almighty, at Jesus Christ, who gives us all things. Is your heart directed at Jesus in all things? Or is your thanks simply centered on you? So beware of letting your heart only be thankful in the horizontal. You know, I'm thankful for all the things that come back and please me and all the things that make me happy. May your thanks be directed to Jesus. Finally, number three, is we see that this man realized that he had what he had because of God's mercy and grace. Notice what the lepers cry out for in verse 13. It says, they all cried out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity or have mercy on us. They all cried out for mercy. And any blessing, any benefit that you and I have today comes as a result of God's mercy and God's grace. And so as you think of the blessings in your life and you pray them back to God, may you remember God's grace and mercy in those things. And especially when it comes to number one on my list anyway, which was salvation. That is a result of God's grace and mercy. Today I pray that each and every one of you have received God's mercy, that you truly know Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'd like to close today with a parable that Jesus once taught about receiving God's mercy and how we do that. Today, if you're here and you've never received God's mercy, I want you to listen to this parable that Jesus told. This is out of Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. It says, to some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We'll see that the Pharisee had a very thankful attitude, didn't he? He was pretty thankful to God for the things in his life. He was thankful for his good decisions. He was thankful for his moral uprightness and his obedience. He was thankful for all those things that really he could measure, those measured deeds. He was so thankful to God for those things. But the other man was well aware of his unrighteousness. He was well aware of his desperate need for the mercy of God. And so what's so beautiful about this parable is that God's mercy that day fell down upon that man who knew he was a sinner. He saw the ugliness of his sin. And God's mercy fell upon that humble man. But the man who thought he had it all together, the man who thought him and God were like this, were on good terms, God's grace was withheld from that man. One man went home justified, right with God, made whole. Just like the leper was cleansed of the physical disease, so in the spiritual sense, that man went home healed by his wounds, We are healed, the Bible says. And that man went home whole, right with God. Why? Because he humbled himself before God. Have you humbled yourself before God? Do you see the ugliness of your own sin? That it's an offense to a holy God and that you need forgiveness from him. You need his mercy. Have you beat your breast and just raised your hand and said, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. There's no righteousness in me. I need your forgiveness and righteousness." And if you haven't done that, call out to God for his mercy. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all your blessings, oh God. At this time of year, we tend to focus on the material things that we have, Lord, and we know that they come from you as well. And Lord, we ought to be thankful for those things. But God, help us to be most thankful for salvation, for being forgiven, for being cleansed and made whole because of your great love that you displayed by giving up Christ. And Jesus, for going to the cross, we thank you for that great love that you've laid down your life for us. Help us, O Lord, to have hearts that are full of thanks, not just on Thursday, but on every day of the week, Lord. Help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts for worship, to come in this place each and every week with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts because of who you are. Father, I just pray that you would cement these truths into our hearts today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.